Welcome in, everybody. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. What's going on? It's the Saturday edition of the show. Wrapping up the week, Louis DiBiase joining you, as always, in studio 4 to 5 times a week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. And today I talked about it yesterday. Kind of gave a little subtle preview, a little teaser about what today's show is going to be. I do recommend, by the way, you check out yesterday's show. We got into the start of rookie minicamp for the Eagles. Which rookie in this class could make a splash 2019 season? I mean, the Eagles really haven't had a big-time rookie performance from a rookie since, I mean, Carson Wentz those first couple months of the season in 2016. But outside of that, I mean, skill position-wise, they haven't had a guy that's been up for, or even defensive player, haven't had a guy that's been up for rookie of the year in quite some time. So we got into that, talked about what we should expect from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside his rookie season, Miles Sanders, Sharif Miller, of course, our first-round pick, Andre Dillard. So that's up and available on any podcast platform that you listen to the show. Just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play Locked On Eagles, or as always, on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. So if you're on your desktop, you know, if you're at work and you're listening to the show while you're doing your stuff, LockedOnEagles.com, and as always on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and my good co-host in crime, at Gino_LOE, if you want to check out Gino's stuff. And all right, there's all my shameless plugs for the episode. Now let's bring in my co-host for the day, and I talked about him yesterday. He is a sports reporter for the Meadville Tribune in the Pittsburgh area. He's also an NFL analyst in Buffalo, worked with me up here where we actually are recording right now up in Buffalo, New York. He was covering the NFL draft, all things NFL, college football, the NBA, up here for a good amount of time on 91.3 FM WBNY. It's Jordan Hanskin. Jordan, welcome to the show, man. You were on last year. We created the Steagles. We're going to do a similar kind of thing today, I would say, right? I mean, it's kind of a...
Yeah, yeah. It seems like I'm on here normally for the gimmicky stuff, right. But I'm here for it. I love this type of stuff. I love these weird categorizing stuff. I feel like it's just something that we all tend to do in the summer.
Well,
we always do
when
stuff
it's May.
Like this.
Yeah, especially when it's May and we got mini camps coming and mandatory OTAs don't start till June 11th, at least for the Eagles. So we got some time, I guess, to do some shenanigans.
The fact that you started talking about mandatory OTAs is just something that...
Hey, man, that's
crazy.
You can only get it on Locked On Eagles. We're recording 4 or 5
days a
week. Diehard
podcast
so.
Guy
that's
now,
right.
Yeah. Guys started talking about those mandatory OTAs.
That's right.
He's running crisp routes against air.
Miles Sanders is wearing a visor at minicamp yesterday. That's my big takeaway. So look good, play good. Part of the mentality.
A visor minicamp, man.
I'm
never
big on the visors.
Never change.
So what we're going to get into today, I talked about it again. I teased it yesterday for those that did listen yesterday. We saw both me and Jordan had fallen upon, it was just a random guy on Twitter. So it's not as if, like, we should shame him in any way for creating this. There's this new website, or at least I feel like it's new. It's called tiermaker.com. And I've been seeing a lot of people, or at least Twitter has recently discovered it. And, you know, you can tier your favorite fast food places, vacation spots, sports teams, whatever. And we saw a QB tier ranking. And initially, for me, I had a problem with it based on where Carson Wentz was ranked compared to some other players, i.e. Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to get into it today. So I thought it'd be a fun idea for the podcast during a slow time of the year on a weekend podcast to create our own quarterback tiers, and quarterbacks are always going to be compared. It's the most important position in the league. It's probably the most important position and maybe in all of sports when you talk about the importance of that position. So in the NFL, I don't know, Jordan, I don't know if you agree. Like, I feel like the quarterback position right now is in a really cool spot in the NFL where you either have your guy and he's been, you know, entrenched there for a long time, right? The Tom Brady's of the world, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, etc. Or, I mean, it's kind of encouraging for the NFL that a lot of teams are done just trying to settle, right? I mean, because you even see, and you're a Bills guy in the AFC East, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Sam Darnold are all in the same division, right? I mean, you got Kyle Murray now with the Cardinals. They chose him over Rosen. It really feels like you either have a really young upside like quarterback, or you've already got a guy that you're really high on. I mean, there's only a couple teams right now I could say that don't feel like they think they have their answer. I mean, how many teams feel like they don't have their answer? Maybe Cincinnati with Andy Dalton. I mean, is there anybody else?
What I've
Oakland,
noticed
maybe with Derek Carr.
What I've noticed going through this is that there's really only a few teams where I really just don't trust their quarterback situation.
Okay.
All the teams that maybe don't have a future guy, they have like a steady hand.
Right.
It's not, they're not, for example, the Bengals.
Like yeah, Dalton.
He's fine. If he's healthy, he can, you know, you can go 10-6 with Andy Dalton if you have the right, yeah. if you have the right team around him.
I mean, Derek Carr, too, in Oakland.
Right, yeah. You have a guy that, you know, can get you to where you want to be, but he's not going to get you to an elite status. He's not going to get you to a Super Bowl.
Those are the only two teams I could say that don't feel like they have, the Bengals and the Raiders, that don't feel like they have their long-term guy. And I could even maybe argue against myself and say the Raiders might still believe in Derek Carr. Who knows what's going through the mind of John Gruden. But I'm just looking through the tiers that we created, and we're going to get into it next segment. We'll start it up. We did 5 tiers each. So we named them different things, so it's going to be fun. We're going to get into it next segment. But I looked through it all, and even the teams that are starting, I mean, Washington might be starting Case Keenum to start the year, right? The Giants, as much as we bash on them, they clearly believe, or David Gettleman at least believes, in Daniel Jones. So while Eli Manning is going to start this year, the season at least to begin with, and Case Keenum might start for Washington, although I think Haskins might end up winning that job. Regardless, even the teams that might be starting those kind of players, like, this is the first time in a long time where I think the NFL, like, almost all 32 teams are very comfortable with where they're at. And you, like you said, we might not trust what they're doing, but it's the first time in a long time I could say that almost everybody is confident in what they have at quarterback, which is just never normally the case. So, I don't know, is it maybe because, like, I mean, is college just churning out more quarterbacks, or are teams just taking them more? Are they just waiting, they're done waiting, and they're done taking bridge guys?
I think the NFL is actually catching up to the college game style. I think that you're seeing a lot more coaches, you know, adopt different offenses that are more unique and more set up for the quarterback to succeed.
To mold around them, right?
Right. Like, the Bears are a perfect example. Trubisky needs an offense like Matt Nagy's.
Right.
To succeed. He needs it to be simplified. He needs it to be, you know, spread, shotgun, maybe have like one or two reads.
Yep.
But like, he was pretty good with that offense.
Well, I think Nick Foles is that perfect example of what you're talking about. I mean, you look at what the Eagles just molded around his strengths. They almost changed the entire offense for him, and it ended up leading to him being a Super Bowl MVP. And I feel like Jacksonville is going to try to do the same thing with John DeFilippo as their OC. So, yeah.
I mean, the Bills, I mean, for my team, the Bills for that, too. They
yep.
they knew Josh Allen's strengths are deep ball accuracy and, like, just deep ball and spread offense.
Get them moving around, yeah.
And, yeah, you didn't see the Bills do a lot of timing routes. They
right.
did a lot of crosses, posts, and deep fades. And
right.
it was a lot of fun, and it was suited to his strengths, but, yeah.
I think it's encouraging that the NFL is going towards – and again, you know, because we've been covering the NFL together for a long time. I've been a big anti my way or the highway kind of coaching philosophy, and that's why I like Doug Peterson so much, and I think he's such a breath of fresh air from Chip Kelly, and it's only been 3 seasons. So, and I think the NFL is really going towards that way. I mean, yeah, even you know, Sean McVay with what Jared Goff is doing, and hopefully what Baltimore can do with Lamar Jackson to mold around his strengths. And they really did that last year. They molded around what he was good at immediately by running the football with him 30-plus times a game. So, yeah, it does seem like the NFL is going towards that way. You're right, where coaches are trying to max out that position. And at the same time, like, I think teams are done settling. I think the league is more bold now. You even see it in the way acquisitions happen with trading now in the NFL. I mean, the deadline this year, it seemed like the NBA or NHL trade deadline with how much movement there was. It wasn't as exciting blockbuster like moves that other leagues have, but, you know, the whole league, I think, is definitely changing its mentality, and it's really reflected in the quarterback position. You can really see it. So we're going to get into that next, coming up right here in the Locked On Eagles podcast. Me and Jordan, we're going to get into our quarterback tiers. We did 5 tiers each. We'll start from the bottom to the top. So we'll do our first 3 tiers next segment, and we'll come back around in the 3rd segment, and we'll wrap it up with our final 2, which are the top 2. Where's Carson Wentz? Where's our boy Nick Foles in these tiers? That's coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, today it's sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard, multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process, but today hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. It's ZipRecruiter.com, and it's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your jobs. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. And it's so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That's right, 80% within the first day. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter, if you haven't heard me say the name enough, .com/lockedon, LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. It's Louis DiBiase, and joining me today, again, Jordan Hanskin. First time in a year, came back last year. We created these Steagles. It's a fun time, I think, to be creative with the podcast, and considering there's just, it's really, the offseason is still so popular in the NFL, but once the draft ends, it kind of dies out for a couple weeks.
This is my time of year.
This is the time for Jordan Hanskin to shine.
I love categorizing things.
That's right. Yeah, I love categories. That should be on your Twitter bio.
I love this water cooler stuff. Right. Where you're sitting around with the water cooler in the morning, and they're like, oh, did you hear what the Locked On guys said?
Yeah.
And then what do you think about this quarterback? Where do you think he slots in?
And it's a, people love to debate about quarterbacks right now, and I think most fans should be, or at least have that pride and have that encouragement about their quarterback position like we were talking about in the first segment. But I want to start it off how we're going to do this. So, again, we did five tiers for every quarterback in the NFL that's starting. We put the rookies in there as well. So we're going to start from the bottom. So the guys we have ranked the lowest, and we named them differently. So we'll do the from the bottom up until the middle here with the first three tiers, and then, again, we'll wrap up the show with our final two tiers. I want to hear first the names, though, of what you did. I like the way you did this.
Yeah, so I named them after different types of cars.
That's good.
So
I like that.
My first tier, are we just going to go right into it?
Well, here, first do the names. I want to hear what you named the tiers first.
So the lowest tier I have is broken down Dodge Caravan.
Okay. You didn't do a Pontiac minivan?
I don't know what Pontiac's minivan is. But a Dodge Caravan, you know what a Dodge Caravan looks like. And then I have the Camry.
Right.
Steady, reliable automobile.
Right. Not totally exciting, but yeah.
Then the third tier I have is Teslas. They're the new kid on the block.
You're not an Elon Musk guy.
High upside. I'm not an Elon Musk guy, but you know they're a high upside car. I like the idea of a Tesla more than I trust the guy running the company of Tesla.
I also think maybe you like the idea of Elon Musk more than what he actually.
What he actually is, yeah, because he's a fraud.
That's a philosophy podcast for another time.
we need to save that for.
Right.
I don't think that's locked on Eagles listeners.
Stay tuned on Twitter. We'll post that somewhere else.
And my fourth tier is a BMW. You know, it's a sporty car, really nice car,
really close to being a top tier car.
Yeah, it's a car that you see doctors and lawyers driving around.
Right.
And then you have the Ferrari. This is the car for.
That everybody wants.
Yeah. And it's the dream car.
The one that
everybody.
No matter what, you're going to be happy with.
Hard to acquire a Ferrari.
Yes, of course.
But when you have one, it's the best thing in the world.
How much do Ferraris go for nowadays, anyway?
I don't know. I'm not even a car expert, but I feel like people agree with my category.
I like the way you did it. I'm a little bit more boring here. Since you were going with the humor, I liked the way you named them. I went here with It's Over. That's the bottom tier.
That's funny.
Upside guys. So these are the guys that, while they're not, it's not over for them. They haven't already emerged. These are the guys that haven't really formed out into the other tiers yet. We don't know if it's over for them. We don't know if they're good, not great, which is my next one. We don't know if they're the elite category. So for me, the upside guys is right above It's Over. Then the good, not great. So, like, again, I would probably rather have a lot of these upside guys than the good, not greats. But I did it more so based on, like, what they're standing in the NFL right now is, like, what their reputation is. So then it's good, not great. The guys that, look, you can win with, built around a great coach, a great defense, weapons around him. He can get the job done. But is he the guy that no matter what the situation, he's going to keep you in contention for 10 years? Is he the guy you want to pay $30-plus million a year? I'm not so sure, so that's why I put good, not great. And then near greatness. These are the guys that are either on the verge of being at the top. They have shown elite qualities. They have shown in limited time that they could be, like another level of upside for these players, or the guys that have always been there. Like, they're just, like, right knocking on the door. They're right below that top tier. So that's near greatness. And then my final tier is, again, like I said with the good, not great, it's no matter what, because these are the guys, whoever is built around them, no matter the situation, they're going to keep you afloat, and it's why you pay them the big bucks. It's because these are the guys that every team daydreams about. Teams, some teams have never had in their franchise history, while others have had multiple amounts of these elite, no matter what types of quarterbacks. So those are my tiers. And let's just get into it. Let's start with the bottom one. So who's in your bottom tier here for the quarterbacks in the NFL?
So my broken down Dodge Caravans, yeah. You're probably not going to agree with a few of them.
All right.
Because some of them are a few guys that I think you like.
Okay.
But I have my reasons for putting them there.
Okay.
So the obvious one, let's just start with the prototype broken down Dodge Caravan.
Quintessential
broken Eli down. Eli Manning.
Yep, he's in my it's over category as
yes,
well.
I think
it's been done
the
for,
writing's
two,
on
for
the
like
wall.
4 years.
I think he'll be a Hall of Famer based on the Hall of Fame standards of what it is. Not that we agree with it, but I think his career has done enough
to get
that spot.
He's won two Super Bowls. I hope to God that never is the way it happens with Carson Wentz, where he has this illustrious career with the Eagles. He wins multiple championships for you, but he's so bad for such a long period, and the team refuses to move on from him, that you get this stale taste in your mouth about Eli. Like, hopefully, for the Giants, right now, Giants fans, I'm sure, just are sick of Eli Manning. Give it a little time, kind of like Brett Favre with Green Bay, and they'll refreshen up to it. But right now, like, that's what it's got to suck, because he's like a legend with the Giants, but he's been so bad, and they refuse to move on, that the fans probably got to have a stale taste.
You
he's
want,
in my category,
you want
too.
Carson Wentz to hang it up. Before
I would like them to realize. I would like the franchise to know, or the player to know, it's over before it actually happens, and it's too late.
If Eli Manning retired 3 years ago or 2 years ago, his legacy would be so different than what it is right now.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's really sad, because like, he has done a lot of good in his career, and like,
great,
he should be
quarterback.
He should be remembered as that. But instead, he's become the laughingstock of the NFL.
He's kind of been the joke.
And it's really sad
when you
think about it.
That's why I hope that never would be the case with like a Wentz.
He's the obvious broken-down Dodge Caravan. I mean, you're running that car into the ground.
I have Eli in my tier as well. Did you put Case Keenum in there?
I also had Case Keenum.
Okay, I think he had his little moment of fame there 2 years ago.
Yeah, when you took him down to the shop and you got him cleaned up, and he looked pretty good for a little bit.
Get him comfortable in those PA rollouts.
Once again, you're running it a little bit too much. I think, you know, with Washington, they have a better offense. They have a better offensive
system than Denver
team, at least. Denver had a lot of problems last year.
Yeah, I think he'll do better with Jay Gruden. I don't know if he's even going to start though. Truthfully, behind.
Well, I actually like Haskins a decent amount.
Yeah,
and I think that
I know it's sad, but I liked what the Redskins did this year in the draft.
Yeah, I thought they had. Very good draft.
The other guy I had in this one, I had two other guys.
I put Alex Smith in there.
I did have Alex Smith as well. I think it's over too, because I mean, his leg blew into bits, and he's not like Teddy Bridgewater where he's 25 and he can take a couple years to get back into it.
That's what I mean with the broken down part. Is this is where I have quarterbacks also that have major injury concerns.
Yeah,
like major ones where they're not really young. And like, it gets to a point where, you know, you had a scary injury last year. That's where you get a little bit concerned with that. Flacco is also in this spot for me. I think that he's just, you know, running on a little bit of fumes. He's similar to Eli.
It's a lot of these guys that are labeled now. They used to be the guy, but then they fell into the bridge quarterback purgatory, and there's no getting. Like, once you've fallen in that. Once you've been chosen, you haven't been chosen over another quarterback once. It continues to happen. So, like, Alex Smith, right? Kaepernick. They chose Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to KC. After a couple years, they realize, man, he's just not the guy that's going to get you over the hump. They go with Patrick Mahomes. And it's the same thing with Flacco now. It's Lamar. And even though Drew Locke isn't someone I'm a big fan of, like, he still was a second-round pick, and Elway was enamored with him at Mizzou. Flacco is kind of like, he's in my tier two
here. He's a bridge quarterback.
Yeah, he really is. I had Jameis Winston here as well.
I also put Jameis Winston here.
I just
don't like his game. I think that I really think he has, like, he's just not that smart of a quarterback. I mean, it's shown by his play, right?
Oh yeah,
he makes some of the most bizarre decisions.
He hasn't kicked it. Like, you've seen a lot of players have that same reckless abandon, and they learn to, at least if they don't get rid of it entirely. Because, like, I don't want, like, Carson Wentz, I like that he has this never-say-die kind of style a lot of time, but they learn to use it in a more responsible way, whereas Winston still makes, like you said, just some ridiculously terrible decisions.
Terrible decisions.
And it's been a long, and if anyone's going to get that out of him, the most out of him, it's going to be Bruce Arians. But I don't know, man, you lost DeSean Jackson now back in Philadelphia. I was never a big Winston guy in the first place.
These categories can obviously change.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You can play your way out of it. Like, the next quarterback I have also in this category, he can play his way out of it. But I am concerned mainly just with injuries, and that's Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
I am just really concerned.
Guy.
He's never really taken that jump.
He did, though, in 2016. The problem was is that he kept getting hurt.
That's what I mean, is that he's been limited. He's been hampered by unfortunate circumstances. It's
really
not his
funny.
Fault that he's in this category, yeah. But it is, like, last year when I hear that you have nerve damage and you can't feel your arm, that's very concerning. And I think that the Titans need to be at least smart with this and really start thinking about the future. Like, yeah, he's a good quarterback to have. I don't know how much they're paying him. I don't know if they're. I
he hasn't got
is
that.
He's still
big,
on the rookie
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, what's his fifth year option year?
I think this is where you, like, this is his make or break year. I would really consider.
I mean, well, they're building around him too, though. They drafted A.J. Brown in the second round. They brought in Cole Beasley.
They're giving him all the.
No,
they're
I'm sorry, Adam
him,
Humphreys, the other Cole Beasley.
They're giving him all the stuff he needs to succeed. But if he can't take the next step, or if he gets another injury, they might have to look into the draft.
Which is crazy because in 2016, it's funny, like, Mahomes was the big thing last year. The year before, it was Carson Wentz. Honestly, like, people forget. If you go back just 1 year before, a lot of people would have said, give me Marcus Mariota almost anybody. Like, he blew up in 2016. But, yeah, I see that. Do you have anybody else in this category? Who else you got here?
That's actually the
is
end
that
of
it for
me.
The end of it?
Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
I had,
though, I'm looking up his 2016 stats. Yeah, 26-9?
Yep.
That's very good. Did they make the playoffs that year?
No, they missed by a couple.
They were close.
Games,
they were like 9-7.
But,
yeah.
But then, man, like, he showed up in the playoffs too 2 years ago. I'm with you on the injuries though. That's something that it's
not his
fault. Concerning.
It's just definitely an issue for me.
All right, so the next category for me was upside guys. How did you label yours? What was the call?
I have the Camrys lower than the Teslas because I like the idea of the Tesla more than the Camry. Even though the Camry is a more reliable thing.
All right, we'll do it this way, because I also had good, not great, which is the same thing as yours. I just put it in the a different order here.
What would you rather have? The upside guy?
Yeah, so the upside guy.
We'll do the good, not great first.
All right. Here, I'm going to keep saying some names. You tell me if you had them in this category. Andy Dalton.
Yes.
And the good, not great. Like, he's just always going to be. I think it's the Dalton scale now in the NFL. Like, that's like the 16th ranked quarterback always and forever.
He's the new
Alex Smith, right?
The epitome of average.
Yeah, he's the epitome of average. Derek Carr
I had in there too.
Which is nuts, by the way. Like, we talked about Mariota's big 2016. Derek Carr almost won MVP that year. I mean, and he has just never been the same off his injury. So, could be a one-hit wonder. Matt Stafford,
yes. I struggled going back and forth
between near greatness and good, not great.
Matt Stafford had a point in time where he was flirting with elite.
He was close. Yeah, he really was.
And I really like his game. I think the Lions have done him a disservice. They never really...
Well, they've never had a running game.
And once Calvin Johnson was gone, they never really got that
throw into your boy
superstar.
Kenny Galladay now.
I think Kenny G is the closest thing they've had to that, but... Yeah, they have a lot of problems, and they've never had a run game. It's unfair.
I don't know. I mean, this year, they got Kerryon Johnson. They drafted T.J. Hockenson. Maybe this is with Kenny G taking another step, but
have a giant in their division now that's so good.
He never took that elite step, though. Like, he was flirting with it, and he never took that leap. And a lot of it did have to do with Detroit. Again, you can be as good as how your team builds around you, but again, though, he hasn't lifted them up over that. Like other quarterbacks have, at least a couple times. He hasn't even gotten them into the playoffs. Have they made the playoffs since Calvin Johnson retired? No. The last time they were in, what was that? The Dallas game, the pass interference game, right? With Tony Romo's last year in Dallas. So, yeah, I think Stafford right now belongs in the good, not great. He can play his way out of it, but he hasn't. And he's been in the league for a while now. I mean, he's been in the league for 10 years. Kirk Cousins was in this one. I wanted to say it's over really bad because he chokes in every big moment he's ever been in his life, and he's making way too much money. Like, that was the worst contract I've ever seen in the NFL, and it's it's embarrassing what Minnesota has done with such a good team, and they've put it in the hands of Kirk Cousins, which last year, Week 17, they deserved that, by the way. Everything that they got because of Kirk Cousins, you should have saw it coming, people. But he's a good regular season quarterback. Like, he'll put up numbers. Yeah. You'll be in the hunt. He'll never be the dude for me, ever. Like, Matt Stafford could still be the guy. I still could see a window where he kind of does what Matt Ryan has done or Phillip Rivers. Kirk Cousins he's beaten a 500 team, five times in his career.
These guys, though, they all need the perfect circumstances to win the Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. They need everything around them. Outside of structure, these guys will not carry you.
These are guys that I would trust, though, with, say, that Denver team that Peyton Manning won with when he was on his last legs.
Yep.
These are the guys that I think, yeah, you could win.
They could throw for 141 yards and a pick and still win the Super Bowl, which is what Manning threw. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I have Kirk. So we did Dalton, Carr, Stafford, Kirk. I put Dak in here as well.
I also put Dak in here.
And it's funny because the Cowboys are going to give him like 30-plus million bucks to do that.
The thing with Dak to me is I have not seen improvement from Dak.
No,
I've always just seen Dak just being Dak.
And I'll give it to him. Like, he's a great late-game quarterback. Like, in big moments, he can step up. He is mobile.
He's kind of the anti-Kirk Cousins
That's
in that
big.
Regard.
Yeah, but everything else, he is not well-rounded enough. I feel like he relies so much on that run game and that offensive line with Dallas. He's a play-action-centric dude. Like, honestly, to me, he's like a late-game heroic version of Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith. Like, to me, he's closer to that category than some of the other guys I have in this list. Like, the other three I have here, Nick Foles, Jared Goff, and Mariota. I think Dak is a lot closer to the other ones I've mentioned than he's, like, right in the middle of this tier.
Yeah, I also have Foles in here.
An asterisk on it, though, because, like, I had to put him in the middle because you have no idea what you get with. Like, you can get historic levels of greatness like you've seen the past 2 years, but you can also in the past 2 years see what he did at the end of the regular season in 2017, the first two games this year, the Rams version of Nick Foles. Like, there's also times where when the team around him's not playing well and he gets pressure at him, much like Jared Goff, sometimes he crumbles.
Recently, the sample size is just...
It's
so
been incredible,
small.
Though.
It's so small, but it's elite.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But it's the most it's one of the most unique stories in sports, Nick Foles.
Yeah,
he's
an enigma.
Like,
he was really hard to place, but I have to base this spot on when he had a full regular season of work.
Mm-hmm.
And
when was the last time
he had the good Eagles season, which he also came in relief, I believe.
Yeah, he's always been a spot starter.
And then when he was with the Rams, he really struggled. So, naturally, I put him in the middle of that, which is probably about what the Jaguars are
going to get. And I think in Jacksonville, that's what he's going to be. I mean,
they don't have the weaponry.
They don't have the offensive line Philly had. They have a good run game.
They have a good defense.
And they have a good defense. Yeah, and they've got his OC that was his QB coach when they won the Super Bowl. But, I do think he's right in the middle. I'm sorry, Foles fans.
My issue with the Jags is I think that they think they're going to win the Super Bowl because Foles won the Super Bowl, but the Eagles had one arguably the best roster in the league that year.
And I do think, though, like, if you put Foles in that situation in the AFC title instead of Bortles, like, I do get the Jaguar fans believing that like, Foles would have been that last step.
Bortles is arguably the worst quarterback.
Yeah, like, Foles wouldn't have collapsed in the second half like Bortles. I do agree with that, but at the same time, you're not getting a dude that every single week you can – like, you can rely on him. If Wentz goes down, you know Nick Foles can run off three games against really good teams in L.A. and Houston specifically. He can beat the number one ranked defense in the playoffs like he did against Chicago on the road. He's great late in games, but you don't always know you're going to get. And that's why the whole Wentz-Foles debates drove me nuts all year long. He does belong in this tier right below where I have Wentz. Goff is the same thing for me, only for me, I would love to see what, like, Foles would do in Sean McVay's offense. I think there's a lot of guys. It'd be very interesting to see what they would do in McVay's offense. I'm not a big Goff guy. I think he's very limited with what he can do. I think you saw it in the Super Bowl when Bill Belichick broke Sean McVay's offense and they got pressure to Goff. He crumbled in the Eagles game last year. When they got to the quarterback up the middle, he doesn't have the mobility to get to the edge. I'm not a Goff guy at all. I think he's good. He can get you to the Super Bowl if you have a souped-up power team like the Rams did last year. But again, for a first overall pick, he's not someone that should get the deal that him and Dak are about to get next year.
I disagree on Goff. I have a higher thought on him.
I just think he's a high floor, low ceiling guy.
I think McVay's offense, people give it a lot of credit. where I think it's a very simple offense. It's not like complex. It's not like he's running stuff. He runs his bread and butter. McVay runs his bread and butter often, and Goff really runs it very well. Like you see, Goff making tons of audibles. He has a lot of mental. Like he's very smart.
I've seen a lot of big moments where he's crumbled.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I've seen big moments though
where he's played well.
No, he has.
He went toe to toe with the Chiefs.
The NFC title game was really impressive for sure. Like late in that game, he made some tough throws getting hit. But to me, there's just been too many times where I don't see the elite qualities. I don't know. I'm not as big a Jared Goff guy compared to the other guys I'm about to list
Carson
here.
Wentz.
And it's Carson Wentz is one of them. I would not have, again, when the Rams were on the clock, I was sweating that out because I wasn't going to be happy if it was Goff at pick two instead of
Wentz. That's crazy. Going all the way back there, you were not a Goff guy.
Never. Even coming out of Cal. And again, a lot of it has to do with I really like to have my quarterbacks have athleticism and mobility. But it's not even that. Like, let's make this next jump here. For me, it's the near greatness category. It's also things like, improbable completions. Like there's this real stat I really like that I think defines what I like in a quarterback from Next Gen Stats on NFL.com, and it's improbable completions. It's throws that you wouldn't think could be completed, and the quarterback makes it happen. Like windows that are only a few rare breeds can make that throw. And for me, these are the guys that are either have always been close or they're on the verge of being elite.
I didn't finish my Camrys yet.
Oh, who else did you have in there?
Cam Newton.
I had him in the next one.
I think Cam Newton's gone a long way down from his MVP year in 2015. Look at his past 3 years, 52% completion, 19 touchdowns, 14 picks. 59% completion, 22 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
His offensive line also, by the way, has been one of the worst in football.
Yes.
And he got more accurate last year, I should say.
Last year he did have a better year.
They finally started building around him.
I think here's my argument for it. I think we know what he is. I think he's about in between what that MVP year was. That MVP year, he had a lot of good stuff going for him. Their team was very, very good. They had arguably the best defense in the league. He played great, like no doubt. But I think that he has dropped off a little bit. I think a lot of it has to do with how much of a beating he's took with that O-line, as you said.
Well, he's also run the football so much throughout his career more than anybody else.
And I think that, he is a little bit limited with, he's another quarterback that I think his decision-making, like, he has a few issues with it. Because I think it's more talent-driven, though. I think that he, really wants to force the ball in there. He's trying to make something happen.
Well, again, though, I also think Carolina has done it's again, trying to find the balance between what a team is doing for you and what you can do for the team.
Mm-hmm.
They kept surrounding him with guys like Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funches, guys that cannot create separation to save their life. So you already have a guy that's not very accurate to begin with.
They changed it a little bit last year.
No, they did.
DJ
I mean, they
Moore.
Got McCaffrey's a guy in space, can get open. DJ Moore is a quick twitch receiver that I really like. Curtis Samuel, versatile player at Ohio State, and last year showed a lot of explosive ability. They got some playmakers now. But I don't think he's elite. I don't think his MVP season is what he has been. I think he is, again, he's in the middle here of the good, not great, and the no matter what's for me. And that's why, this tier in itself should have a tier for me, because I have Wentz in here, I have Mahomes, I have Watson, players that I could see, again, playing into this next tier, where there's other guys that, to me, are stuck here. And that's Phillip Rivers, Big Ben, Cam Newton, and Matt Ryan.
What is that? What is that?
This
that's
is the,
your,
the
that's
near
your,
greatness.
The
one.
Near, so
but
almost
the, but some
elite,
of them,
but not elite.
Yeah, but some of them in this tier, I expect to be there eventually. Wentz and Mahomes, like this is the thing.
Okay,
the young guys
can get there.
But Rivers, Big Ben, Cam, Matt Ryan, I think those
you
guys
don't
are
have
like they're
Rivers
there.
An elite.
No, I don't.
Wow.
Their team has been really, really talented for a while now, and again, he's someone that. He hasn't been able to carry them. I mean, when that whole LT era kind of ended for a while, they've been very hot and cold. I think Rivers is a really,
AFC
really good
game
quarterback.
On a torn ACL.
Yeah, I know, but that was, 11, 12 years ago?
Never
2007?
Forget. Some people don't forget.
I think he's right behind him.
No, I have him in the elite status, but Cam Newton can make the jump back into, if he has a great year this year.
I think he's a better chance than,
he does.
Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan is just... I think the entire Falcons
team is broken.
I consider
Cam Newton the 2019 Toyota Camry. You're getting like a Sirius XM with that.
Yeah,
you're getting
right.
Like really nice, like temperature seats, temperature controlled seats and stuff. But yeah, right now I'm a little. It's just he's a steady car. I don't know how much better you can get with him.
Right. By the way, we got to do our upside guys too. We got our upside guys still. We have our elite guys.
Do we need a break?
We're going to take a break here real quick. But just to wrap up here, like the near greatness category for me, Wentz, it's funny. I saw that originally what got us to want to do this show is just this random fans' rankings of the quarterbacks. And Mahomes was at the top. But Wentz wasn't. Wentz was right below it. What I don't understand is Carson Wentz was the Patrick Mahomes of 2017. Like, this guy was going to win MVP if he didn't tear his ACL, especially after that performance he had against the Rams where he tore his ACL, beating that team to pretty much secure home field advantage, which, by the way, full stands, was one of the key reasons the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I digress. Wentz, the next year, I know he was injured last year, takes big steps in accuracy. He had, like, career highs in a lot of passing categories. To me, like, Mahomes had that one year. But again, if you're not comfortable putting Wentz in there, then to me, I'm not comfortable putting Mahomes in there. It's the same thing. It's 1 year, whereas I believe Mahomes is going to be elite. We talked about Marcus Mariota. He's had that kind of season before. I mean, not to the level of Mahomes where he threw for over 50 touchdowns, but we've seen
got
that.
Halfway there.
Right, but even like Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota, Derek Carr, even Matt Ryan. We've seen a lot of these guys have mega years before. And while I think Wentz and Mahomes are both going to be in this next category, maybe even in 1 year, I think they're going to both take that step in 2019. I think it's not fair to put Mahomes or Wentz. I don't think it's fair to put Mahomes ahead of Wentz right now. And I think it's also kind of the same thing with I could argue Wentz over Mahomes just based on sample size, but I think both right now should be in the same tier. All right, we'll be right back. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, the quarterback tier edition of the show. Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host for today, Jordan Hanskin. Again, we are ranking the quarterbacks in the NFL. It's silly season right now up until we get to training camp and some of the big summer stuff. Fantasy football drafts coming up soon. Season's coming right around the corner. We only got 4 months until. So we got a couple tiers left here. We're going to wrap up the what we did the final part of the second segment. I did my near greatness category, so we'll get Jordan's version of that. Then we have our upside guys, which for you is the Tesla, and then we have our elite category. So that's how we're going to wrap it up. But for me, at the end there, at the final, the second last segment, I put Wentz in there. I put Mahomes. I think Deshaun Watson also is in there. Much like Cam Newton, they got to get him an offensive line. They took Titus Howard in the first round, I think, out of desperation because the Eagles jumped in front of them and took Dillard. I do like Titus Howard, though. They double-dipped an offensive line in day two. So they are trying. He does have some good weapons around him, including one of the best receivers ever. Well, I'm sorry, not ever, but in the league right now in DeAndre Hopkins. So I put those three there. Those are the guys I think that can take the next step, that next jump. And then the guys that are kind of stuck in there, Rivers, Big Ben, Cam, and Ryan. I'm curious to get your tier here, this kind of right below elite. You didn't have Cam in there. You put him in the good, not greats, right?
Yeah. So my BMW class is a little small.
Yeah.
I think I have a lot more elite quarterbacks than I think you do.
Okay.
Like guys that are just, you know, either surefire Hall of Famers or
right,
like MVP candidates every year. But my BMW class is three guys about to take the next step, I think. And one guy that, you know, was there for a year or two, and then since then has been okay, but his team hasn't been very good. And that's Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, and Carson Wentz.
Okay.
I think that's the spot where Wentz is right now due to two unfortunate injuries. It has nothing to do with Wentz's game. Eagles fans, please don't get mad at me with me not putting him in the elite status yet. I think he still can get there. He easily can get there. As long as he, you know, gets healthy and continues.
I think if he stays healthy this year, he will, considering
all
the
weapons. And gets back to the 2016 year that he was so good.
2017.
2016 was his rookie
year. Yeah, rookie year.
Right. So, yeah, because he did take that jump from 2016 to 2017. You saw it. It was so obvious. The Eagles became the best team in the league. Super Bowl winning
I think
team.
You should also be encouraged by him taking the leap for fans out there because He played through the season last year on a stress fracture in his back, and he still had a career high in completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio. Like, the dude still in the pocket was slinging it. So I think he should be encouraged. I don't disagree with you, though. I didn't hear Mahomes there, so I think he is above that. For me, again, it's just I'm not comfortable putting Wentz there yet, even though I expect him to get there. And it's similar to a couple of these other young guys. I think I'm surprised, even with myself, I put Watson in there. Are we putting Watson too high? I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think Watson is a very, very good quarterback. I think they're, you know, he has Hopkins, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the rest of their weaponry is, like,
he got sacked like 62 times last year because of that line.
Their line's not very good.
It was
good.
Almost David Carr 2.0.
The run game's okay. Lamar Jackson's solid.
Lamar Miller. He is the most average.
My bad.
He is the,
that's bad.
He's the Andy Dalton.
Thinking quarterbacks, yeah. You know? We're getting to the top list.
He's the Andy Dalton of running backs. Lamar Miller.
But he's serviceable and he's pretty good. He's above average.
Yeah.
And I still don't. He doesn't really have like a safe. Like Hopkins is a safety guy, right? Their best receiver that's constantly double covered.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have a great tight end presence on his team.
Will Fuller's got to stay healthy.
Will Fuller gets hurt by week seven every year.
Yeah. So
I think he's done a lot
with a little
with not a ton of weapons.
And he got him when he was healthy last year. They make the playoffs.
It's really just an eye test thing too. I think he's very similar to Wentz in that type of game. Like he's a big play machine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his accuracy is getting better and better as his career progresses.
I like a lot
from what I see from Watson, Wentz, and Goff, by the way. I know that, you know, there's like an Eagles-Rams thing with the 1-2. They're always going to be linked. Both those quarterbacks
are
always
going to be linked. Well, even if he wasn't linked, it's just not the style
I
like.
Right.
Which, again, it's my preference for quarterbacks.
But I think Goff is the ideal prototype pocket passing quarterback. I think he does a lot with his like his mental game. He really clicks in that McVay offense. He runs that show. He makes audibles, I think, almost every play.
What does he do with Doriel Green Beckham, Josh Huff, and Nelson Aguilar, though?
Probably not as well.
That's all I'm
saying.
But
he also would have – does he also get Peterson?
Yeah, but, I mean, in Sean McVay's offense, though, you take away Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and Todd Gurley.
But I think Goff is a little bit more moldable.
And I'm not saying I'm not going to fault you for having weapons.
Yeah.
It's just what to me it's again when because you're not always going to have that good of a like Carson Wentz isn't always going to have Deshaun Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz, Dallas.
He's also
Goddard,
not always
going to
have that line.
He's not always going to have Jason Peters, Lane Johnson. Do I trust when I pay this guy for the next 10 years? Does it matter? Can he be your Russell Wilson where after the Legion of Boom is gone, after that Seahawks dynasty or a near dynasty ends, am I still going to be able to make the playoffs like they did last year? So with Goff, I don't know. That's why I have him right below. I don't hate on you for, again, I think your rankings are reasonable. With Watson specifically, he's like right above the upside guys tier here. I think the upside guys one is interesting. I think people would disagree that Baker Mayfield isn't there for me.
You put him in the
I put him in the upside,
upside
guys.
Not in near greatness.
I don't know. I saw a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he was a rookie of the year.
I don't think his
That's
was,
what he was.
I don't think he was as impactful though. Like I don't think his breakout year, although it was his first year compared to Wentz and Mahomes, their second ones, it wasn't nearly as like wow factor as it was more like a Goff kind of thing.
Baker also had by far of the five first-round quarterbacks, the best thing to walk into.
Oh, yeah. Josh Allen has a five-minute highlight reel or a low-light reel on YouTube of drops because his team, Isaiah McKenzie, couldn't catch the
football. Our leading receiver was Robert Foster, an undrafted free agent.
Lamar Jackson, too.
Lamar Jackson was limited by his coach's decision to make him run first.
Well, Marty Morningweg was trying to save his job. So.
Right. Yeah, Josh Rosen was limited by everything the Cardinals had.
Yeah. I'm not a Rosen guy, though.
I am not
basically
either.
Because of the same argument I make for Goff.
But I also will say
like,
he has weapons.
Yeah,
Rosen had weapons.
This
he
is
just
the
didn't
thing
have
with like Lamar and Allen. I saw those guys do a lot with a little, and they were winning football games. And I'm not a QB wins guy, at Donovan McNabb. But for me, when you're the reason you're winning, then I can use it.
That's right.
And Josh Allen was 5-6 as they started. They were 6-10 total. Five of those six wins came because of Josh Allen. Like that defense is kind of like the Titans defense, nameless really when it comes to around the NFL. There's not a lot of Bills defensive players they know, our good guy from the Eagles back in the old days with Jim Johnson, Sean McDermott's the head coach and does a great job. But Allen, though, too, it was the defense, but it was also like Allen took that step when he came back.
I also consider Allen 5-5 because of that Texans game.
Okay.
With Peterman coming in and literally just blowing the entire game for them.
Sam Darnold's right in the middle for me when we, for that class I see. Like, I like him more than Rosen. But I don't like him as much as Baker, Lamar, and Allen.
I watched Allen play Darnold at
You're high on Darnold.
I saw a lot in that game from him, where the Bills had the lead, and Darnold marched down the field and threw a great pass on the run. He has big playability. There's no doubt about
it. Throwing motion, dude. I hope he takes that next step for his own sake, because
you
never know. Like, Bortles developed that hitch because he never really found that fluent throwing motion like Wentz did that second
year. I'm concerned with his coaching staff.
We're not big Adam Gase guys.
So I question that. QB whisper Adam Gase, who never really had a good QB in his career.
Right. I mean, it was just because he had Peyton Manning in Denver.
Yeah. Real QB whispering there.
You know who else I put in this one? Mitch Trubisky and Jimmy G.
Jimmy G is the prototype upset guy.
Yeah, I don't like guy. I saw him in the second highest tier in what motivated this podcast. And like you got it. I know he went 5-0. Yeah, it's like, come on. I know he's from the Patriots and I know he's shown a lot. Coming from New England, he ends up winning a couple games when Brady got suspended. Then he wins 5 straight for San Fran to end the season. Like, I get it. But it's such a small sample size. Like, I wasn't even comfortable putting Wentz or Mahomes in the elite category.
He started this year 0-2.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Garoppolo's not there yet for me. He is much closer to, like, Trubisky. I think it's very similar. Like, Shanahan's offense and Matt Nagy's offense, very similar, where to me, those are similar quarterback situations.
I think it's nuts to put Jimmy Garoppolo in the same category as Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's crazy because Watson and Wentz have a body of work. Garoppolo, yeah, he is definitely upside because there's been flashes, but he just hasn't had the opportunity to, you know, he's still a rookie, really. He's played 6 games.
Yeah, right. How long? He's been in the league since 2014, too.
And the Patriots just had him sit behind Brady. Yeah. I mean, he's in a good spot now because the Niners are starting to make their move to winning football. They're starting to build around Kyle Shanahan.
I think these are the guys that have, in the upside category, again, I would even make this a tier in its own right. Like, it's the lower ceiling, though, of these high-ceiling guys is Trubisky, Garoppolo, and Rosen for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else? I mean, and then, of course, my guy Teddy Bridgewater is in this one, too. I'm still holding out hope that when Drew Brees retires, he's going to be the guy
in New Orleans. You put Bridgewater on your list?
Yeah. My upside guys.
In what world is he starting?
I just had to give him a shout out. Oh. I didn't actually put him in there, but I had to, he's an upside guy for me.
So my last three guys are the first round rookies from this year.
Yeah, I mean Jones.
Make fun of Jones all you want, but like I think you as an
Allen fan should understand.
I think it's
the Jones.
It's unfair because I'm doing the same thing to Jones that I didn't want people to do for Allen.
Fair,
even though I think that the
I think there was the a lot
test,
more though to
the
see
eye test
from Allen.
Wyoming at from Wyoming Allen. Where he's playing with literal two-star
guys.
And
you could see
and people
it
using
Allen.
The two-star excuse for Daniel Jones, who played for a 6-6 Duke team.
Like, I don't want to be
only 3- and 4-star players.
I don't want to be a solely dependent eye test guy. But with Allen, you knew, like, wow, that's a big dude
There's
that can move, that has a big arm. He's making big plays with not a lot. And then I watched Daniel Jones's tape. Like, it's not fair to just say what he was at Duke is what he's going to be. But I tried, dude. I even went back after the draft, and I tried to give him another chance because I felt bad because I was doing what I didn't want people to do to Josh Allen last year or even Wentz coming out of North Dakota State. And I went back to the film, and I still said, nope, there is nothing here for me. There's nothing for me.
I still think Allen's biggest problem in college is hero ball. If you watch that tape, you see a guy
trying to do...
You need
a little hero ball in you, though.
You see a guy trying to do too much.
I think you need a little hero ball.
And I thought Allen's rookie year was very promising. I thought he got better and better as the season went on.
You got, again, we talked about with Winston, with Wentz, with not Goff to me. You got to have hero ball in you, but it's got to be contained. And so for me, these upside guys have that.
Yeah.
That for sure. Some of them not as much. Again, Trubisky, Garoppolo, Rosen.
Drew Lock,
yeah.
Drew Lock, I actually think, is a very high upside guy. I think his talent is through the roof, mm-hmm. but I just haven't, you haven't really seen it all come together in college the way you want. He's definitely a project.
Do you have anybody else in this, just the rookies?
Yeah, I think we got through them all for me.
All right, let's get to our elites. You have probably a lot more than I do. I have five guys in this one.
I have.
How many do you have?
Seven.
All right, so not that many more. Yeah. I think I already know one of the guys that's in there.
So I'm actually just going to go like
first.
Seven
go
to. So let's get down. Let me get down to five. I'm going to rank them like 7-1.
Okay.
Who I think is the best quarterback. So seven, I have Philip Rivers.
Okay.
I think that, you know,
I have him right below.
He's
so.
Gonna have a he's going to have a bust in Canton, like for sure. And it's kind of imagine the difference. Him and Eli, they'll always be linked. Mm-hmm. Eli had a much better team, like organization that built winners
yeah.
than Philip Rivers.
His
had.
Team gave him an opportunity to shine in the playoffs. He did himself shine.
Philip Rivers is a better quarterback in his career than Eli Manning.
Yeah, overall he's been more consistent, more talented, I think.
And I think, you know, he's probably got maybe 2 years left to really take a shot at this. I really like what the Chargers did. I feel like they had another good draft.
Shout out to Geno, his boy Nazir Adderley. Like that's a
they're
great
one of the most they're one of the most talented teams in the league.
They really are.
I just you know they. That Patriots game, man.
Yeah, I mean,
Belichick,
that's the problem. When you run into New England.
Belichick made them exposed.
Yeah.
So, but right,
you have
I still think he's an elite quarterback.
Okay.
Number six, I have Pat Mahomes. I think that he was the MVP by far. Last year was probably the most amazing, like, rookie. I put it in quotes that he was, like,
Ben
a sophomore
Simmons
player,
rookie.
But it was his first Ben Simmons rookie. But yeah, it was one of the most amazing first years of football I've ever seen. And I think a lot has to do with his coaching. He's in a great system, great talent around him, arguably the best weaponry in the league.
I don't know, not anymore.
Now it's going to be
Kill's
interesting.
Gone?
Now,
I love
Tyreek Hill is he gone? He's suspended, right?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that still,
I don't
but
know
Kareem
what
Hunt's
that is,
gone.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Mecole Hardman, Darwin Thompson. Big fan of what they did to replace those guys, if they have to replace
Tyreek
Hill.
Still have Travis Kelce, one of the best
tight
ends in the league.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, though, with that offense
Sammy
kind
Watkins.
Of changing around. Yeah, Mr. $16 million man. Okay, I don't hate it. For me, though, if you're going to put Mahomes in there, I think you got to put Wentz.
Did Wentz get the 50?
No, but he got hurt at like
but
32.
But that's what I mean. Injury matters. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right,
is that the injury matters, and the injury
maybe,
takes,
well, maybe
takes
Patrick
Wentz
Mahomes,
and puts him
I got
into
something.
The Beamer
I guess
status.
So. Maybe Mahomes should have beat out Alex Smith his rookie year, huh? How about that? Yeah.
Andy
maybe
Reed.
You shouldn't lose to Mr. Checkdown Nancy.
I don't think
that.
He lost. I don't think he even had
was
a
there
chance.
Even a chance?
No. I think Andy liked what he had with Alex. 30-4.
Yeah. All right. What do we got next?
Now we're at five. Now we can trade off.
All right. So number five for me is Andrew Luck.
Okay. I have Roethlisberger.
He is the perfect example of having a terrible franchise build around you with nothing outside of T.Y. Hilton and still being a dominating force when healthy. Kind of the same thing as Wentz, but I've seen it in the playoffs repeatedly. You know, even last year, like that team.
He had a rough
wise.
Go against the Chiefs, but
yeah, but
they're building too. That's another team that's like on the rise. I think
they're
a little bit
there.
Of a hot take Super Bowl team that a lot of people
yeah,
like.
I'm
not ready for that. I still think New England
they're the lone wolf
obliterates
Super Bowl
them.
Yeah,
but yeah,
they're the typical lose in the second round to the New England Patriots kind of team. But I would put him at five. Though. I think it's fair to put him in this category.
I have Roethlisberger at five. You had Roethlisberger in your.
Oh, he's in my near great.
Near great.
Yeah.
Now I still think the fact that Roethlisberger still gets 5,000 yards is crazy. They rely so much on him.
They've done also. No, they have. It's just for me.
The attitude you don't like. You're not a Big Ben guy.
I think he's a. I can't put you in the elite category when no one likes you.
He's a two-time Super Bowl champ, and at like what? How old is he? 36.
Yeah, he's been to another one too.
And he still gets 5,000 yards.
No, I know, but
it's crazy.
This is for I only put
his casual 5,000 yards.
Again, I only put five guys in here. So yeah. like.
You had to make a cutoff somewhere.
And I think Big Ben was the cutoff.
Okay.
Big Ben, Wentz, and Mahomes were the three guys I could easily see being in this tier, but I just would prefer the other five.
I'll move on to my number four. My number four is Andrew Luck. I agree with everything you said about Andrew Luck. I still think, you know, injuries concern me still. But last year he did come back and he looked like the old Andrew Luck.
He's got a hell of a book club podcast.
Yeah. He's a real fun guy.
What about number three for you?
Who was your number four?
My four was Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Yeah. But he's what, 36
now? Off the field.
I don't know if I buy the...
Think Tyler Dunn was making it up?
I don't know. The one thing I'm skeptical of is with Wentz in the hit piece, which was to me a total hit piece, the entire Eagles team, everybody that meant something to the organization came out and said, yeah, that story's terrible. Carson Wentz is this. He's not this. And even, again, the writer took personal shots. I don't want to get into it again. I thought it was a terrible story. Whereas Rodgers, this piece, where was the defense from all the Packers? Where was Jeff Janis saying, no, he wasn't being mean to me
in
practice?
Jeff Janis was quoted, right? No.
No, but I'm saying like one of the stories was the only people that have come out and said anything about this in denial is McCarthy and Rodgers.
And Rodgers.
Two of the guys that made to look the worst.
Right.
To me though, he is one of the most talented quarterbacks I've ever seen. And with the way they're building that defense now, I think if he's healthy, I still would like him over Big Ben. In this category, I wouldn't put him ahead of the other guys, though. I'll just go. I'll hear like number three, Russell Wilson. Number two, Drew Brees. Number one, Tom Brady. I'm not putting Rodgers ahead of any of those guys.
No, I had Rodgers next in my list, and then I had Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady.
Yeah,
I think Russell Wilson,
especially with
every time I watch
now?
Russell, time I watch Russell Wilson, I am astounded at what I see. I think when he won his Super Bowl. Their team was totally different, and everybody's like, "Oh, he's just a game manager, you know? He just runs their run game offense." And then they lost everything, and he was still awesome.
I mean, look what they've lost. The whole Legion of Boom is gone. Michael Bennett's gone.
They had the worst line.
Then they replaced a lot of those guys up front with Frank Clark. Frank Clark is gone now. Bobby Wagner is the only one left, even on offense. Marshawn Lynch gone. Doug Baldwin just retired. Jimmy Graham gone. I mean, Max Unger, they traded for Jimmy Graham. It's like the whole, you're right, the offensive line has been terrible for years. They're finally getting that built up a little bit.
Doug Baldwin's a good player, but he's done now.
He definitely showed that he is not like a Dak Prescott, like where he was. Yeah, he was really good in big moments for Seattle during those years, but now he's shown he's more than that now. Like he can carry you no matter what the situation is, and now you give him, I mean, I like Tyler Lockett. You give him DK Metcalf now, who to me is still the best receiver in the draft class, and I know he fell all the way to the bottom of the second round, but you get him DK now, Chris Carson in the backfield. Man, I like what Seattle's doing.
To me, he's the best think on your feet quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think his improvisation is unbelievable. And I think that if I had to pick right now, if I had my choice between Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I'm taking Wilson first.
I would too. The only other guys I think right now are better than Wilson right now, Breeze and Brady. And
I put Wilson ahead of Breeze as well.
Okay.
I think Breeze, you know, I think Breeze's age is just.
Yeah.
You know, I think that.
Well, it's interesting. We can get into like.
He's a little bit limited by his athleticism now. He can't make as many throws as he used to be able to.
No, for
sure.
He
misses deep a lot now.
Yeah, he was still on another level last year though.
He's brilliant. Him and Peyton are
all the records he's breaking now too.
That's the closest. I think that's the closest to Brady Belichick that you can get is Peyton Breeze. They're just on the same page every single.
I think
play.
He's underappreciated because he's been in an era with Brady, with Peyton Manning, with
Tyson,
Aaron Rodgers.
Tyson Hill's coming for his job.
and now Mr. Taysom Hill's getting all these passes.
Getting snaps.
Yeah.
As a fantasy owner of Drew Brees, that was the most infuriating thing in the world.
Taysom Hill was the most degrading thing in football last year. He is the figmentation of Sean Payton's ego.
If you have me back on the pod for best, just ranking of the best football player in the NFL, I think Taysom Hill is one. And he can do everything.
But I think
play
for the
defense.
Most, I think for the most part, our tiers are pretty fair. Again, with Wentz, I put him here in the near greatness tier. Again, you guys have heard me on the podcast the past couple weeks. He has no excuse now to not put up a Mahomes-like year last year with all of the weapons he has with the offensive line. Just got to make sure the stress fracture in his back is fully healed. Knock on wood that that actually, we just get that in the past for him. Put Nick Foles in the good, not great category for me. Same with Hanskin. But overall, once again, like we said in the first segment, quarterback is a fun position right now in football, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for joining us here on the quarterback tier episode of the show. Please subscribe if you haven't already. If you could leave us a 5-star rate, hopefully a review of all of the fan feedback is always appreciated. The conversation continues on Twitter at Locked On Birds and at DBSCLOE. Follow my good friend Jordan Hanskin at JR_Hanskin for some sports humor. For NFL, NBA.
Buffalo BS podcast.
Yeah, you're a Buffalo,
if you're interested in more sports humor, it's not a very serious podcast, but we take a long look into the Bills.
Absolutely.
For all those maybe Buffalo Eagles people.
If
like
you want to hear about LeSean McCoy a little bit, you can check that out as well. So, again, really appreciate everyone tuning in today. We'll be back on Monday and continue once again 4 to 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Locked On Eagles. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go, Birds.